The study of the ear, hearing, and balance is called audiology. And I have been intensely involved in this field of medical science for nearly 45 years. So I can certainly relate to the deaf man's experience in today's gospel. He also had a speech impediment, which tells me that it's likely that he was severely hearing impaired since birth. Most of you have heard of Helen Keller. Her life was a miracle because although she lost both her sight and hearing at the age of 19 months, she established what is now a world-renowned organization that reaches out to persons with multiple sensory disorders. Describing her own condition in life, she said that deafness is worse than blindness. For blindness cuts one off from things, but deafness cuts one off from people. I have seen the awe, wonder, and excitement on the faces of patients like this when they can actually hear for the first time through the marvels of modern technology. They sparkle with excitement, and they want to hear everything and everyone and finally learn to communicate. In today's gospel, we get a clear sense of the awe and wonder of those who witnessed Jesus' miracles. He had already made their hearts burn with his preaching. They had seen him cast out demons, cure the sick, feed a multitude, walk on water, and even raise a young boy and a young girl from the dead. On the force of this reputation, several true friends brought Jesus a man who was deaf and mute. The Lord put his finger in the man's ears, touched his tongue, looked up to heaven, sighed, and cried out in Aramaic, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And suddenly the man could hear and speak. And even though Jesus told the people not to say anything about the miracle, they couldn't help themselves. They were astonished beyond measure, and they cried out, "He has done all things well." And now this line of joyful amazement should be our Christian motto: Jesus has done all things well. In his preaching, in his miracles, and especially in his salvific passion, death, and resurrection, each one of us should cry out with the residents of Decapolis that Jesus has indeed done all things well. Everything he does flows from his infinite wisdom. He really does know what is best for his people, and his work hasn't stopped. He continues to listen to us in prayer. He continues to grant miracles, and he continues to nourish us through the sacraments. But this motto is being challenged in many segments of our culture today, and it's nothing new. The Roman and Jewish leaders didn't think that Jesus did everything well. Rather, they thought he was a colossal failure, a criminal executed shamelessly on the electric chair of his day, a so-called king who was crowned not with gold, but with thorns. Little did they know what would happen on Easter Sunday. Little could they fathom what a small band of fishermen, tax collectors, and other relative nobodies would be doing in his name throughout the world. Today, too many in our culture treat Jesus and the church he founded as behind the times. To them, it's a modern irrelevancy. They will be in for a surprise one day, too. But as our society becomes less Christian, more of these false ideas have been invading the minds of believers, and this is an even greater concern. I wonder how we would respond if Jesus were here today and were to ask us whether we think he did all things well. I think we could propose several very relevant test questions that Jesus might ask us to determine if we really trust him as God to do everything perfectly for us and for our salvation. And here they are. Do you believe that I did all things well in repeating for you the Ten Commandments? Or you think I should have eliminated some of them or made them optional? If you think that I did all things well, then strive to put them into practice with love. Do you believe that I did well in establishing the sacrament of my body and blood as a source of our personal loving communion, and stating that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you? Or do you think I was just grossing you out or speaking figuratively? Well, if you think I did this well, then come to receive me with clean hearts and souls, not because you have to, but because you want to, and then come and spend time with me in prayer, as I know you would if you really believed that I was here. Do you believe that I did well in setting a high standard for discipleship, or do you think I should have made it easy? Do you think I did well in calling you to love others as I have loved you, which means to sacrifice yourself in order to save them, to be merciful just as I have been merciful to you, to deny yourself, pick up your cross every day, and follow me along the path to Calvary, to be willing to spend time learning your faith, the pearl of great price, to come with me through the eye of the needle and through the narrow door, to detach yourselves from all that is, from all that you have, sharing your talents and gift with others, and then coming to follow me. If you believe that I taught well, then put these words into practice and become a disciple through and through. Do you believe that I did well in teaching you the path to happiness when I gave you the Beatitudes? Do you think I was right in blessing the poor in spirit rather than the wealthy, the pure of heart rather than the sex symbols, the meek and peacemakers rather than the strong and powerful, those who mourn rather than those who laugh, those who hunger for holiness rather than fame, those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness rather than those whom everyone praises and likes? If you think I did well, then show me by becoming men and women of the Beatitudes and striving after these values more than money, fame, popularity, or human pleasures. Do you think I did all things well when I told you that whatever you do for the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me, and that I will judge you for either caring for me or neglecting me in them when I was hungry, thirsty, naked, ill, a stranger, or imprisoned? Do you think I was fair and loving in describing to you that in order to enter into eternal life, you need to keep the commandments, be baptized, receive my body and blood, and cut out of your life everything that leads you to sin? If you do, and you trust that I did this well too, then show me by striving first for the kingdom of heaven, by hungering and thirsting for it, by ordering every choice you make to whether it leads you to greater union with me or not. And show me by bringing the message about heaven and hell out to others so that they can make the right choices and be with us forever. In today's gospel, Jesus said to the deaf mute, "Ephphatha, be opened." And his ears were open to hear God's word, and his lips were open to praise God and spread his good news. On the day of our baptism, Jesus, through the priest or deacon who baptized us, touched our ears and our lips and said the same words, "Ephphatha, be opened." Because God wants us to use the ears he gave us and listen to his word, and the mouth that he gave us to spread that saving word with enthusiasm to others. Jesus has indeed done all things well. And our way of showing that we believe this is by proudly taking his message to others. As you all know, these are trying times for the church. And Jesus is counting on all of us to stand fast in our faith and be living examples of Catholic values and Catholic truth, motivated by a pure love of God and one another. Bishop Robert Barron recently said, "We are not Catholics because of the moral excellence of our leaders. We're Catholics because of Jesus Christ crucified. We're Catholics because of the Trinitarian love of God. We're Catholics because of the mystical body of Christ. We're Catholics because of the sacraments. We're Catholics especially because of the Eucharist. We're Catholics because of our Blessed Mother and the saints. We're Catholics because we believe that this is the church founded by Jesus himself when he said to Simon, 'You are Peter, and upon this rock I will find my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.'" So even as the leaders in the church fail morally, the Catholic Church remains the bride of Christ, and she's worth fighting for. As we prepare to receive his own flesh and blood as our nourishment, let us ask him to renew in us the graces of our own baptism, so with great courage and holy pride, we may take the message that he has given us here today out to be a lifeline to the whole world. Jesus has indeed done all things well, and he wants to continue doing things well through all of us. Amen, church.